Hello, welcome everyone to Burgess Power Hour. And tonight, today, wherever you're calling in from all around the world, today, tonight, it's all about the essence of sex and intimacy. So I'm assuming I'm going to have quite a few people on the call tonight because for some people, that's an interesting topic. And for those of you who do not know me, I'm Burge Smith-Lyons, and I've been involved in this personal growth transformational work for over 35 years. So I'm kind of an old person, or I've been experienced, let's put it that way. And also, I have the workshops and play shops that I've been teaching all around the world for 22 years, Essence of Being, and all of the Essence series, all the graduate levels, and all of the different kinds of play shops. But tonight, and I invite you, by the way, to go to essenceofbeing.com or eobinternational.com and check us out and see what workshops are coming up in your area. So tonight, though, I'm going to get right to it, to sex and intimacy, because so many of my graduates and people that I have known and worked with over the years, some of the biggest things that come up for people is how to be intimate and what does that mean? And I just want to give you some background or some kind of a definition, I guess, if you will, of what this means to me and what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight is that intimacy does not mean necessarily sexual conduct or sex, and sex doesn't necessarily mean intimate. So to put these two together, many cultures and many people believe that you have to have one or the other or both, and whatever your belief system is around all of that is perfectly, if it's working for you, that's great. What I'm going to be doing is sharing just some information, some knowledge, some different types of maybe ways of thinking about what the essence of sex is for you, what intimacy can be for you and how that looks. It doesn't necessarily mean the same thing, though, for some people, okay? So, again, get pencil and paper handy if you can, if you're not driving, because we're going to go around and dig in that little subconscious minds of ours about what's going on about sex and intimacy. So those of you who do know me, you know that I like to go to that subconscious level. We go into that bubble talk, the subconscious thoughts that keep you from getting what you want. And if you've never heard me before, bubble talk is, if you can imagine a balloon over your head or those little bubbles that are in cartoon characters when they're thinking something, that's your bubble talk. Those are the subconscious thoughts that run you because you might be saying one thing, but your results are showing something else. So oftentimes that is because your bubble talk and your conscious thoughts are not aligned. And I always start off all the power calls with this, that basically if you put your foot on the gas, those are your desires. If you put your foot on the brake, that's the resistance. That is the resistance or the belief that you can't have it, which can be your subconscious thoughts or your bubble talk. So if you're driving around with sex on the brain or intimacy, wanting to have more intimacy or love or any of those types of connections with people, sometimes you might say you want that, but your subconscious thoughts might be blocking you. You might be putting on the brake at the same time. Therefore, you end up spinning your wheels and not going anywhere because obviously if you're driving a car with your gas and your brake on at the same time, you're not going to go too many places. So without further ado, let's get right into that. Now, many of you may have heard of the fear of intimacy, and again, I'm going to rephrase that to intimacy means into me see. It's that part of you that hides, perhaps. It's that part of you that is afraid to let anyone see what's there. Because when you're intimate with someone, and it can be anyone, it doesn't have to be a sexual partner, but when you're intimate, you're absolutely saying, hey, look at me, look inside of me, I'm not going to hide. And one of the things that we say in our Essence of Being classes is our strength lies in my vulnerability. So the more vulnerable you become, the stronger you become, the more powerful you become. And this is sort of an oxymoron for many people. What do you mean, the more vulnerable I am, the stronger I am? Well, this is totally in alignment with our experience tonight about intimacy, that the more you allow someone into your space, the more you allow someone to see who you really are, the more powerful you become, the stronger you become, because you're saying, I love myself enough to allow you to come into my space. So when we fear intimacy, there's a lot of reasons why we would do this. So let's go and look and see why people might fear being intimate and how that can relate to their sexuality as well. If you want to have an enlightened relationship, you have to see yourself with more light and see another person with more light until they become a D-light. So enlightened can simply mean you see more light within yourself. You see yourself in the mirror burning bright, seeing that innocent child there, the one that really wants to play, the one that wants to be alive, the one that wants to explore, and to see another person in that same light. And then it becomes delightful to be with that person. So all of this starts with you. The things that can keep us from being intimate is our fear. So our fear of safety, our fear of maybe competition. In other words, we've competed all of our lives for attention from our parents, from our siblings, from all kinds of, from our teachers. So we have learned at a very young age that we have to compete for attention, for many of us. And so it sets us up to really start to feel feelings of jealousy, have a sibling rivalry, whether or not we're an only child or not, we still can have sibling rivalry because we are trying to compete for attention from our parents from a very young age. And what will happen with these fears of competing is that a lot of times when we're intimate with each other, that sets up that competition again. It's repressed. And it can also set up that old feeling of feeling rejected and that there's not enough to go around. There's not enough parents to go around. There's not enough teacher to go around. There's not enough love to go around. There's not enough whatever, fill in the blank, to go around. And so we feel upset and angry, and we start repressing all those feelings. And so what I mean by competition is that oftentimes when we're afraid to be intimate with someone, it's because we feel like it can bring up that competition for the other person. So let me give you some examples. We'll say to somebody, hey, you know what, I'll seduce you with my most lovable qualities, but I really won't let you into my heart because if you saw who I really am, you'd reject me. So many times when we get into a relationship and we want to be intimate, whether it's a sexual relationship or not, we will offer them, we'll seduce them with our most lovable qualities that we think are lovable. But we'll stop at allowing them to really get into our heart because we're afraid that they might find out who we are and reject us. So again, this all starts from that position of loving yourself. So happiness can the result of having happiness in our life and being intimate with somebody is choosing to let go of any projections that we have about us, because we will project all of those things that we feel about ourselves onto other people. So we have this weird kind of paradox of fear that goes on around all of that. We say, okay, I want to get close to you, and I have a need to be close, but at the same time, we're afraid of getting close because we want to avoid any situations that are like any kind of past situations. So if we've had bad relationships in the past and we felt like maybe sexuality was not, we didn't like ourselves enough to experience sex or to experience aliveness, because that's what I call sexuality, by the way, is our life force. If you look at sex as being life force, if you look at our sexuality as allowing life force to run through you, then all those other projections that we put around sex can wither away. Because really, it's all about breathing in more life force and being innocent with who we are. Because we are sexual beings. So let me go back to the paradox of fear. That we say, hey, we really want to get close to somebody, and we really have that need, but we're afraid of it. Because they're going to find out who we really are if we have these feelings, these deep-seated subconscious feelings about we're not fill in the blank. We're not good enough. We're not sexy enough. We're not tall enough, thin enough. We're not smart enough. We don't have what it takes to appeal to the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever your sexual mentality is, or however you want to bring that about. You don't have to have heterosexual tendencies to feel this paradox of fear. So can whoever's talking in the background, can you hit *6, please? Hit *6 so we have no background noise, or I'm going to have to mute everybody, okay? *5, I'm going to have to mute everybody if you can't mute yourself, okay? So the other paradox of fear is this. We have a fear of getting close, and then we also have a fear of being alone. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody. All right. So we have this fear of being alone as well. So we have this need to be separate and independent, and yet we have a need to be close. So it's this paradox that we walk around in. So we simultaneously want to avoid situations that are like the past, if we've had any kind of issues in the past, and at the same time, we attract similar situations to clear and heal in order to be free of them. Remember what I have said all along, that love brings up everything unlike itself for the purpose of healing. That is why we get into relationships, is because when there's a lot of love present, it brings up everything unlike itself for the purpose of healing. So even though we simultaneously want to avoid those situations that we've had in the past, and maybe people are going to find out these terrible things about us that we think about ourselves, and at the same time we want to attract the same exact things to us to clear and heal it in order to be free of them. So it's this weird kind of paradox that we get into if you believe that love brings up everything unlike itself for the purpose of healing it. Because if you don't heal whatever it is that you have in your past, of any patterns that you've had from sexuality, from intimacy, it's going to keep reoccurring over and over and over again. Okay, so let me talk about why that is, about why things come up for us sometimes in a sexual relationship or in an intimate relationship that we just seem to can't bust through. It's because we haven't looked within, and we see lack within ourselves. We see the lack that we're not enough. So when we see that, or we fear that we're not enough, or we're going to be rejected, then that's exactly what we create on the outside. So in order for us to have high self-esteem, that's a huge part of this. If you really want to have great sex, great intimacy, it's that high self-esteem is so important. To love yourself enough and your body, to have that self-worth, to say, hey, you know what? I am willing to receive my sexual desires. I'm willing to receive, to be intimate and love myself, and to be responsible with my sexual experiences. Because a lot of times what happens is, think about this in your life, maybe you've done this, or maybe you've had this done to you, people withhold. They withhold what they want. And so they withhold their sexual desires, or they withdraw their energy, and then they resent the other person for it. So think about that in your own life. Are there places in your sexual relationships that you've had, or intimate relationships, where you withhold your true feelings, that you withhold what you really want, and then you end up withdrawing your energy, and then you turn around and resent that other person? That's because sex and intimacy, it can activate so many things within us that we have not healed ourselves. Sex can activate birth trauma. It can activate any kind of fear that we're not good enough because of our self-esteem and our self-love for ourselves. But truly, my belief is that sex can actually, and being intimate with someone can actually release stress. It releases any type of actually, they've proven this in physics now and in biology, that when you have the act of sexual activity, it actually releases endorphins that is a stress reliever. So sex could actually help you release your stress, but a lot of times people are afraid to really go there and go there completely as a spiritual act. Now, this may or may not, you may or may not believe this. This may not be your belief system, and that's okay. But my belief is that sexuality can be a spiritual act, meaning it's something that is life force energy running through me. Sex is an aliveness, creative power. Sexuality, just give yourself permission and know it's safe, because what seems to stop that for many people is that they don't feel safe. A, they don't feel safe because they feel like they're going to get hurt. B, because of past relationships or past experiences, they don't feel safe. C, they feel like they don't want people to know their inadequacies, so they have to pretend, and so they'll just go as far as they can without really completely surrendering to the whole experience. So if you turn your thoughts into saying, okay, sex is a spiritual act, sex is aliveness, it's life force energy running through me. I mean, look at it. It's an innocent creative power. Sexuality is your creative power. I mean, think about it. Sex creates babies. I mean, that's the most blessed, sacred thing you can do. But you can also make that, and you can also say it is creative life force. It brings life force through you. But if you're afraid to be intimate with someone, or if you're afraid of the sexuality part of that because of, like I said, all those fears that we already talked about, then that can stop you. It can block you. And some of the ways that we block it and that we pull back from all of this is sometimes we go numb. We cut off our sensations, we stop breathing, and we shut down. We just numb out. Some people can have sex and just be numb. Some people feel like the intimacy is too painful, so they just numb out. That's one way you can pull back and not feel the experience of being alive. Another way that you can pull back is you make each other wrong. So a lot of times when you're with a partner or with someone, if you make the other person wrong, it makes you feel better than. So you're projecting all of your inadequacies onto them. Another way that you can pull back is you just play your old tapes. You play all of the old things that have happened to you, all your old patterns in your life about what's going to happen. And you project all of that into, you already play it all out, so it's already happening in the future, so why bother? We also can pull back our intimacy by having power struggles. So we can say, well, it's your responsibility to please me, or vice versa. Or the power struggle is, I've got to be able to have power over you in order to make me feel better about who I am. Another way that we pull back is we have these conflicting feelings, meaning that we have feelings that are really, really conflicted because of our past resentments. We really, really want to be with somebody, and yet all these things come up from the past right there in bed with us or right there in wherever we are. All of these feelings keep coming up that we think is going to happen again. So it's all these past resentments that we have not released and let go of, and we project it over and over and over again onto our partner. Another way that we will pull back is we have arguments. That's pretty self-explanatory. And then we also pull back by illness. Sometimes we get ill. So a lot of times we'll get ill so that we don't have to experience our sexuality. So what I'd like to do is have you get out your pencil and paper, and we're going to do something here in a minute. I want to go in there and see what's in your subconscious mind around sex and around intimacy. And the first thing I want to say is intimacy is the result of revealing yourself to others, okay? It's a frightening proposition to many of us. So sometimes we might say, hey, the more I let you see into me, the more intimate I tend to feel with you. But I'm scared. I'm too scared to be vulnerable. Thinking that you'll see who I fear, who I am, and then I'll withdraw and I'll disconnect and I'll separate myself from you, never surrendering to my real hidden self. So we have these hidden selves that we're just afraid. We don't want anybody to tap into that because we're afraid we'll be rejected. So we have this conflict between our addiction to privacy and our longing for intimacy. And we've developed pretty sophisticated defense systems behind where we can hide. We carefully select which aspects of ourselves to reveal. So we can hide what we dislike about ourselves. So nobody will notice and they won't disapprove of us. And again, I'll say it again, we play this game. Hey, I'll seduce you with my most lovable qualities that I'm willing to allow you to see, but I won't really let you into my heart, because if you ever saw who I really am, you'd reject me. So intimacy is a process of self-discovery. So it requires courage to discover yourself. So you find out how safe you are with your feelings. You find out how lovable you are, even when you're vulnerable. And you can discover the joy of being touched deeply. So the fear that you feel when you're drawn toward greater intimacy with someone, it's a healthy fear. It's not a danger sign. Fear is frequently an invitation to greater safety with more energy. So you can use that fear Use that fear of, oh my goodness, they're going to find out about me. Use that fear to have an invitation to find out more of who you are. Lovers seek new levels of surrender, by the way. So fear forward, my friends. Fear forward in this. So accurately revealing who you are is hard work, but not necessarily have to be really, really hard, because that's what we do in all of our classes. But sometimes you may think, why struggle to explain it? Why risk rejection? Why do I have to do this? And yet the need to be close to others, to let them inside, keeps coming up for us, right? We still want to be close to people. And some of the things that make self-disclosure worth the trouble is having closer, intimate relationships and having your sexuality and your aliveness and that kundalini, that connection to spirit, if you want to have the sexual connection, to allowing that to come through. That's worth it to me. So self-disclosure may be scary, but if you hold back because you anticipate you're going to get rejected or disapproved of, you miss a lot. So self-disclosure makes relationships exciting, and it builds intimacy, and it clarifies who you are, and it enlivens you. So if you don't have self-disclosure, you're isolated in your private experience. So you're always disclosing something, whether you like it or not, by the way. You can't help disclosing yourself. So you do it whenever you're around other people. Even if you ignore them, your silence and posture, that's disclosing something. The question isn't whether or not you're going to disclose who you are, but how to do it appropriately and effectively. All self-disclosure is just simply communicating information about yourself. So let's go there and find out some information about yourself, shall we? So what I'd like for you to do is to get out your pen and paper, and we're going to do a stream of consciousness writing. And what that means is that you're going to fill in the blank. I'm going to say several different statements. You fill in the blank. Don't edit it. Don't think about it. Just write down the first things that come up out of your thoughts. So you say it out loud to yourself, and then you write down the first things that come up. And just let it flow. Just keep writing until I go to the next one. And this way you'll be able to identify some things that are going on in your subconscious, perhaps. Okay? So here we go. The first thing you want to write down is, the trouble with sex is... The trouble with sex is... And just write down the first things that come up. Don't try to think about it. Just write them down. And just finish up on the one you're on. And then the next one you want to write, stream of consciousness writing with, what I learned from my mother about sex is, what I learned from my mother about sex is, what'd you learn? What'd you hear? And if you can't remember, make it up. Or whoever your female caregiver was, if you didn't have if you didn't live with your mom or raised with your mom. What I learned from my female caregiver is, what I learned from my mom about sex is, and then finish up on the one you're on. And then write, stream of consciousness writing, what I learned from my father about sex is, what I learned from my father about sex is, or if you didn't, if you weren't raised by your father, your male figure that you were raised with, if you had one. And if you don't remember, just make it up. What I learned from my father about sex is, and then finish up on the one you're on. And then the last thing is, my most negative thoughts about sex is, my most negative thoughts about sex are, or sex is, my most negative thoughts about sex is. And write down the first things that come up. Okay. So hopefully you had some things that you wrote down that you might be able to see there's a pattern there. And just look at everything you wrote down or thought about and see if any of those popped up more than once. So if it did, I'd like to, I'm going to open up the lines so that we can talk with someone who wants to share anything or ask a question about any of this, and then we'll get to some of the things about what you can do about it, give you some tools and some affirmations. And those of you who do not know what affirmations are, they're little lies you tell yourself until they become true. They're your affirming thoughts that you may or may not really believe right now, but you'd like to believe them, okay? So I'm going to open up the lines and see if we can have somebody share what they wrote. Okay, who do I have out there?
Hi, is this Melissa?
Hi, Melissa.
I wanted to share
Okay, so I need everyone else to hit star 6, please. Because I'm hearing a lot of background noise. Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay, the first one that you had mentioned was the trouble with sexes, and I would say I don't trust anyone.
That I don't trust what?
I don't trust anyone.
Okay. All right. And did that come up again in any of the others?
Not necessarily. It is a lot of negativity, and the, towards the last one is kind of a trust issue. So
okay.
Yes and no. Not as often, but it did come up again.
Okay. So trust is a major factor here.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you have you been betrayed before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So most people have, right? So trust can definitely, and one of my calls I did this year was all about trust, about learning how to trust again, and how do you do that even though you don't trust people or you've had evidence that you can get hurt and that you can get betrayed. How do you trust? So again, one of the things you can do with trusting when it comes to the realm of sexuality and intimacy, you know, it is a fear that you're going to get hurt, right?
Right.
Okay. So what you focus on expands. So what you have, you've had all of this evidence probably all through your life where that if you open up and you allow someone to come into your space, that they could possibly hurt you or betray you. And so, of course, people are going to shut down. You don't want to feel that.
Right.
So trust is a choice. It's an absolute choice to have. So when you don't trust anyone in your life, it's hard to, let me ask you a question, do you trust yourself?
Somewhat. I'm working on that.
Okay. So a lot of times the first place to start, honey, when you feel like you can't trust other people, the first place to start is trusting yourself that you make the correct, that you make the right choices for yourself, okay?
Okay.
So one of the things that you can do is you can start saying to yourself that trust is a choice and I choose trustworthy people in my life.
And I choose...
I choose trustworthy people in my life.
Okay. In my life. Okay. Thank you.
And one of the things you can do in order to rebuild trust, okay, is you make small agreements with people, and if they keep them, then that helps rebuild the trust. One of the best ways to start rebuilding the thought process that I can trust other people or trust myself is make little agreements with people and keep them. And if you make little agreements with people and you keep them and they keep it with you, that starts rebuilding the trust.
Okay.
Now, trust is a big issue for people. Like I had a whole call and I do all of our workshops. We do a lot of exercises and a lot of ways to how to rebuild trust and allow that to take life again. So it is really important that you are able to say to yourself, I choose trustworthy people in my life.
I choose trustworthy people.
Because I trust myself.
Because I trust myself. Okay.
Yeah, that's a start, and that's an affirmation, okay?
Thank you for that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thanking you for that.
You're welcome, and there's so much more for you here, Melissa, and I really appreciate you sharing that. And see, you trusted enough to speak up, so that's start noticing and paying attention to all the places you do trust, and the more you start trusting yourself more, and the more you allow that... those trustworthy people in your life, the more evidence you're going to get that you can trust and that you're choosing the right people in your life.
So let me ask you, so how do I know, since I'm kind of a little bit iffy on some of the judgment calls that I make, how would I know if I'm making the right choice?
Do you trust your gut?
I'm starting to do that a lot more often, because when I didn't trust my gut, it kind of backfired on me. So
right.
I'm definitely starting to trust my gut a lot more often, but I still have that little feeling where it's like, well, I'm kind of doubting myself,
yes,
in a way.
I understand. It is it's your intuition that you are not trusting right now. So trust your intuition that you will make the perfect choices for you and that you can attract trustworthy people in your life. Just make that decision. Trust is a choice. And if you bring someone into your life that you thought you could trust and they didn't, the key here is to not beat yourself up about it.
Okay.
Because the more guilty you feel about it and the worse you feel about that, the more you will attract to you someone that will beat you up. Because if you believe that what you think you create, if you believe that you have the power to create whatever you want in your life, that you're co-creating with people, okay? And if you feel guilty and beat yourself up about other choices you've made, then guilt demands punishment. So you will demand punishment in your life, and it's all subconscious. This is nothing that you wake up every morning and say, I'm going to punish myself today. It's
right.
not a conscious thought. This is your bubble talk, that unconscious thought that keeps you from getting what you want. So just be mindful that if you make a mistake, to forgive yourself and correct without invalidating yourself. Just make a new correction without invalidating yourself, because the more you invalidate yourself and the more you doubt yourself and the more you beat yourself up, the worse it makes you feel, and then you keep attracting people to you that will punish you because that's how you feel.
Got it. Okay.
Got it. Okay. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, hon. You're welcome. Does anybody else want to share one other thing?
Me?
Anybody else? And I think you have to hit star 6 to unmute yourself.
Burge, I have one.
Okay.
Dave Savage here.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Are you calling from Hawaii?
No, I'm in California, actually.
Okay. I was like, where in the world is Dave Savage today? Okay.
Yeah, come see me.
I'll be out there soon.
So I got a couple of things here that I just never wrote down, didn't realize, but my big challenge is that whenever I get too close to people physically, not intellectually, I'm good there, but physically getting close to people makes me feel like I'm going to freak out.
Okay, so you just have a physical reaction or you have an emotional reaction?
I have an, oh my God, this feels weird. I don't know. It's I'm worried that they may not have good hygiene, or my skin starts crawling when I get too close. It doesn't matter male or female. If I have this really funny thing about personal space, and it's like I can't really break through that. And if I do, it's only fleeting when I can kind of let myself go and have the intimacy and not be worried about it.
Okay.
So I can't really enjoy it, or, I don't know what it is, but, man, it's like it's a physical body reaction.
Okay. So I have an exercise for you that will help you break through this, and it could be, as you know, because we've done a lot of work together, it could be all kinds of reasons why that is, with belief systems and evidence that you've had in your life. But I would every day get as close as I can to as many people as I can and say, it's safe to be close. It's safe to feel. It's safe to be close. It's safe to be close. It's safe to
You're
going to
look at me like I'm weird.
No, you don't say it to them. but this is something you say to yourself. But you get really close to them, and you just and people that you know, if you have friends or family or whomever, right? So the people that you know, just you can touch their hand. You can activate the part of you that is not afraid by saying it's safe to be close. And to it's sort of like it is a comfort zone, okay? So the comfort zone that you've had where you don't want to get close to people or that it freaks you out, right? That's where you go to. That's your default. So what this will do is help restructure your default so that every time you're with someone and you touch their hand or you touch their shoulder, you are basically reframing that on a physical, emotional, mental level, saying it's safe to be close, it's safe to touch, and it's safe to be close. I think for you, if it's a physical, emotional reaction, then it is definitely something that you can overcome and move through if you practice touching people while you're saying it's safe to be close.
Because it just feels so awkward. I don't know what it
right?
is. But yeah.
Of
I mean,
course
it's almost
awkward.
Now, people can put their hand on my shoulder.
Even just sitting next to somebody and just leaning over and touching their shoulder, saying to yourself, it's safe to be close. It's safe to be close. So what you'll be doing is you'll be pushing yourself through this, actually consciously moving you through, because obviously there's a subconscious block there. And I can't really go through the whole thing on the phone about it, but there's definitely a subconscious block there that is preventing you from connecting on that level. So it could be for a lot of reasons, hon. And so that's something that we can work with offline. But also, But also, I think a really great practice would be just practice every day, make a conscious choice to touch someone and say, as you're touching them, it's safe to be close. And what that will do is start reframing your physicalness, your emotional, and your mental part about human touch. And oftentimes, if we have some kind of a reaction, it can start straight from birth or before, but it can start straight from birth. If you were not touched, if you were not held, if you were not rocked, if you were not connected to human touch for a while or enough, then that can set you up from the very beginning.
Okay. Well, lots of work to do. It seems stupid to most people, but it just really gets me. I do touch people, but I have to break through the barrier every single time.
Well, when you touch them, make the conscious choice to say it's safe to be close and it's safe to touch.
Okay, I'll try it.
Safety issue. Yeah, try that, hon. And we can work offline, you know, for other ways to do that. But thank you for that. And it's great to hear your voice.
It's great to hear your voice, too.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, all of you, some affirmations. Remember I said little lies you tell yourself to become true, to help you with any kind of fear of intimacy or fear of the sexual connection that you really, really want, which are going to be some self-esteem. It's really about, like I said from the very beginning of the call, it's all about you. It's how you see you. If you can look in a mirror every morning and touch yourself every morning, caress your face, your hair, your arms, and stand naked in front of the mirror every morning and be as vulnerable and innocent with your body as much as possible and just say over and over and over again, I love you. I love you. You say it at least 10 times while you're standing there actually touching your body and saying, I love you. And looking in the mirror, in your eyes. And what this will do is it will help you reframe any kind of fear that you have around that you're not lovable, that you're not wanted, that you're not good enough, that you're not perfect just the way you are, that you're guilty, and that you're afraid to be close to somebody, because the first person you have to be close to and love is yourself. So that is a wonderful, I've said this type of practice before in other calls and in our workshops. Just stand in front of the mirror and be vulnerable every morning and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And one of the, I'll give you several affirmations that you can use if any of this resonates with any of you. You can say, I love myself no matter what. I love myself in the presence of others. My sexuality is my aliveness.
Hey, Marge, could you repeat those last two? The background
noise. My sexuality is my aliveness. And I love myself in the presence of others. It's safe to feel intimate. I am now willing to allow my ideal loving relationship. I am now willing to allow my ideal loving relationship, starting with me.
Is the kid in the background a PSA for condoms?
Yeah. And the last one is, I am right and perfect and wanted. I am right and perfect and wanted.
I am right.
When I feel my sexual aliveness, I am right and perfect and wanted when I feel my sexual aliveness.
Wanted. I feel my sexual. You said my sexual aliveness?
Aliveness, yes.
Thank you.
Because remember, to me, sexuality is life force. I feel more alive when I allow my sexuality to flow. It's a creative force within me. It can be very sacred and spiritual.
I just want to repeat it again. I am right and perfect and wanted when
I feel my sexual aliveness.
Thank you.
Birch, may I ask one quick thing?
Sure.
Okay, thanks so much. This is Taylor. Thanks so much for this call.
Pam.
You said guilt demands punishment.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would say do to help get out of that when a person punishes themselves over and over and over again?
Yes. What do you think is the opposite of guilt?
What is the opposite of guilt?
You're so awesome. What if you're either guilty or
innocent?
Right. Right. So I am innocent.
S-H-E-R.
I'm innocent. So when you're looking in the mirror, vulnerable and naked and exposed,
mm-hmm.
you add in, I am innocent.
Okay.
I am innocent. And that goes with sex as well and intimacy, because sexuality is an intimate, innocent thing.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us were raised that it's not, that it's a dirty, thing, and it has to be behind closed doors, and it's just for one. So you can open up your whole way of feeling, thinking, and believing just by saying, I am innocent. Because
okay.
that's one way, even if you don't believe it, you look at yourself in the mirror every day and you start looking for the evidence that you are innocent, because we're all born that way. We're all born that way, and that never really goes away. It's just we forget. We start making up and projecting all kinds of things that aren't really true about us, because we've gotten all this evidence in our lifetime that may suggest otherwise. And so what you're doing is recreating the evidence, going back to that innocence. One way to really get in touch with your innocence is just be with kids and dogs and animals. They're all innocent. The kids are little babies, are innocent. And when you're in that energy of that, you really can feel their innocence, and it helps you remind you of who you are and that you really are innocent. And that will help reframe the constant beating yourself up. Remember, mastery is course correcting without invalidating yourself.
Get in that bedroom. Get in there. Jakey.
Get in there.
I wish that worked.
You might want to mute star 6 yourself. Yeah. So just to follow up and to end up for tonight's call, I know it's a lot to try to integrate within an hour, but I want to give you a couple of tools. And just remember that a knowledge of yourself and the other person that you're having sex with or that you just want to be intimate with, it's really important to know who you are. If you're both willing to disclose your true self, a synergistic deepening of the relationship can really develop. If one or both of you keep large parts of you withheld, the relationship will be correspondingly can be shallow and unsatisfying at times. So my suggestion is, if you're in a relationship or if you're having sexual relations or if you want to be intimate with someone, to be willing to disclose who you are, take a risk to be exposed. Because if you withhold any part of you, then you're not being true and authentic to yourself and the other person as well. Because, listen, disclosure breeds disclosure. As you make yourself available to others, they become encouraged to open up in response. So you can be the demonstration. So the depth of your communication on a given topic can deepen too. So it's really about offering yourself, self-disclosing and disclosing to people who you are and not really caring what they think about it. So what other people think of me is none of my business. What's really, truly important is what I think of me. So you often don't disclose yourself out of fear, because we have the fear of rejection we talked about, fear of punishment, fear of being talked about, fear of someone taking advantage of us. So if you reveal any negative thoughts or traits about yourself, they'll imagine you're all bad. And if you start revealing something positive, you might think you're being accused of bragging. So if you take a stand, you might have to do something about it. So you may be afraid of just having self-knowledge. Many people have been called to come to all to our play shops, the Essence of Being, and all of the other courses that we offer. They're drawn to it, but there's a fear there of self-knowledge. Because you might be suspecting there's some unpleasant truths there, but the really cool thing about all this is that that's all evidence that you've had in your lifetime that's really not true about yourself. And so to be able to identify what is that really you believe about yourself and what the real truth about you is, that's the power. That's when you can make a change, because the most powerful force we have is what we say to ourselves and believe. And if we believe we can't be intimate and we believe we're not good enough, then that's exactly what we believe about ourselves, and it keeps coming up for us to look at. So I'm going to give you one tool that you can use to help your intimacy if you're in a relationship now, or if you'd like to be in a relationship. This is a really, really powerful intimate tool to use. It's called the Wet Truth Process. And what this is you get into a tub of water naked with the other person, and you sit knee to knee, and you look at each other in your eyes, and you tell the truth about whatever you're feeling. So the other person doesn't speak. All you say is, what I feel like saying is, and you tell them whatever your truth is. You speak up. You say whatever you feel. And they can't deny it. They can't talk about it. They can't have a conversation about it. They can't argue with you. They just listen. And then you have the other person do it. And then you can't speak or say anything to them. You just listen. Just allow yourself to listen to what they have to say. And the reason why I say get in the tub and be naked is because you're exposed and vulnerable, and water is emotion. Water amplifies things. And it's a really intimate space. And it allows you to basically disclose how you feel. And the more you do that, the more powerful you become, and the more vulnerable you are, the more powerful you become, and the stronger you can be to create, have the sexual experiences that you want, make it a sacred connection. And remember, you can be intimate with someone without having sex. And just keep that in the back of your mind. Sex is aliveness. Sexuality is aliveness, is creative life force. So hopefully this helped you out there. And you, like I said, I can imagine a lot of people having sex and standing in front of a mirror and vulnerable and naked and saying how much you love yourself, and that's really what it takes. And I hope that, and I trust that all of you know that you make a difference in your world and that you do have the ability to create what you want in your life, and it's safe to feel, and it's safe to connect to people, and to let go of the fears that you have, because it's just false evidence appearing real, and we're just trying to give you new evidence. And for any of you who would like to join us for Essence of Being next weekend in Florida, we'll be there this coming weekend, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And if not, we'll see you in Malaysia or other parts of the world or next year. But I will not be on a power call next month. Normally I do it every third Wednesday of the month. but I will be not able to do it in November. So the next power call will be in December, December 16th, which is the third Wednesday, and it's a surprise as to what my topic is going to be. I know I've told everyone what my topic is each month, but this time it's going to be a surprise. You're going to have to open it up like a holiday gift. So until then, hopefully all of you got something out of this. I'd like to say goodbye, and I hope to see all of you soon. And remember, what you focus on expands. So bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye, Bernie. Love
you. Love you.
Bye. Love you guys.
Love
bye.
You.
Bye.
Love you, Burge.
Love you.